Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
It's gonna be alright. No matter what they say, gonna be a good day. Just wait and see. It's gonna be alright. Cause I'm alright with me. It's gonna be, it's gonna be, it's gonna be.
50, wait a minute, no, 7 and a half the hour, Doug Steffens Good Day program. I'm still lost in the last hour because I was having such a great time being Scrooge McNutt, and now they're spoiling my fun. Rich McFadden and Roberta Fasanelli here on the Good Day program. Let's start a fresh new hour with some more bad news.
I'm down with that. Let's go.
Everybody, let's get into the bad news.
As long as you have a positive outlook about the bad news, that's the key.
Well, the bad news that I have here is about holiday drinking and holiday bourbon specifically.
Really?
If you're a chronic heavy drinker.
Right. What's bad about that?
This type of year can, the drinking of bourbon causes insidious damage to your brain.
It's tough stuff.
Does it really just bourbon?
Brain.
What about scotch?
Any kind of alcohol.
You mean anything? Anything.
Well, it becomes sugar. If there is so much drinking going on at this time of the year, it becomes more of an underscore to what is going on to people who get intoxicated. Even in people who never seem intoxicated or are obviously addicted to alcohol, just one drink of bourbon can cause heavy brain damage. And apparently the folks from Seriscan and these other people that are examining brains now, they've come up with this, and it has nothing really to do. The original research was done because of concussions and problems that people who were playing football and people who were in service got injured on the job, all of those sorts of things. That was why we originally were exploring the brain. Now, they're finding as ancillary information. When they study these people, they're finding parts of the brain, whether you're a football player or whatever else, they see, wait a minute, what's this problem over here in this part of the brain that has nothing to do with injuries on the job or injuries playing football or in sports? And they find that it's alcohol-related brain damage. It has been completely undiagnosed, and it is not necessarily the cause of Alzheimer's. It will read like Alzheimer's. Other forms of dementia, people who get old and they don't have Alzheimer's, they don't have dementia, but they've been heavy drinkers of bourbon or scotch, they have forms of dementia.
What about vodka?
Show up more. Anything that has a lot of
alcohol.
Sugar.
Any
whatever,
alcohol.
Alcohol
sugary
does not.
Alcohol.
But see, but this is kind of a myth. They've come out with studies in the last year, thank God, that show alcohol does not kill brain cells. But the sugar but what it does on your liver, definitely.
The sugar does definitely affect
your brain.
The impact of sugar on your brain, and because bourbon and scotch are so loaded with sugar, consider where this stuff comes from. It's like sugar cane, the stuff that comes from the way they age it.
Well,
I guess
any of the
stuff.
Liqueurs too. Any of the liqueurs.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Any of that stuff.
All
straight.
The really sweet
anything.
Stuff.
Anything. Yeah. It's all the same.
So I guess vodka and gin is better for you.
Well.
Because it's not as much sugar.
See? That's why I like Roberta. She's always looking for the out.
Right. Okay, I've got an out here. Here's the other side of this. People who have early Alzheimer's disease have something new to raise their glasses to, depending on what you're drinking. There's a new, very small study that shows that having a couple of drinks a day is associated with a lower risk of death for Alzheimer's patients compared with those who are heavy drinkers.
Yeah, it pickles
drinkers.
Them. That's why. Just
right.
pickles
so,
them.
But here's the interesting thing. You got one informational bit on this side, and it could be confused with another informational bit on the other side that seems to contradict, because this study shows that having a few drinks a day is a way to lower your risk of death from Alzheimer's compared to those who drink a lot, or who do not drink at all, because apparently there's something in certain kinds of alcohol that lubricates your brain.
Right.
That doesn't mean it's scotch, and it doesn't mean that it's
it doesn't mean
bourbon.
20-year-olds should be drinking to help save them from Alzheimer's. It means that
no.
Alzheimer's patients who already have it are going to delay the effects by having
right,
so
if they, right.
Right. So yeah. It's at that point. The damage that you would be doing by drinking alcohol is
right.
minimized.
But here,
by
so senior centers should have happy hour at all senior
exactly.
centers then.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
exactly.
So here's
3 to 5 every day.
She's always thinking.
The disorder is the explanation for the disorder or the benefits of the disorder comes from looking at people who have survived Alzheimer's. Because if you get Alzheimer's, it doesn't mean you're going to lose your mind. It just means that your mind is going to work differently. Sometimes, more often than not, it falls apart. But what the speculation is in this study is that people who are drinking, it's a social event that keeps people talking, using their brain. So chances are, if you're drinking, you're not drinking alone. And if you are drinking alone, then it's hopeless. Forget about it. But if you're drinking with other people, the stimulation, the social environment, which is proven to help those with dementia, the conversation, the potential positive association of having social experiences, conversational experiences, are what keeps people's minds working. And that's really the real way to keep you from getting Alzheimer's or dementia is to keep your mind working. Get the blood flowing to your brain and keep doing crossword puzzles, play Sudoku, keep working, whatever it is. People who keep working don't usually get Alzheimer's. They don't usually get dementia. Once in a while you find, my cousin is an exception to that. My cousin has it now and he's in a home. He's a wonderful, wonderful guy. He had 10 years ago, I remember he told me that he thought he had early stage onslaught of dementia and Alzheimer's, and it took him until this year to really have it take over his life. And his wife has put him in a home, and his children are very angry at her because he's not at home because
his children don't have to take care of him 24/7.
No. Well, that's the
hard part.
Yeah. They don't realize what it takes to do that.
It's so hard.
Right. I think it's very difficult, but I feel badly about this because this guy is just a wonderful guy. And for him to have to spend, he's not even 80 yet, to spend the rest of his life like that. He's a very healthy guy. So how long do you live? If you're healthy and you got this, you can go on for a long time. But he knew it. He was conscious of it, even at the time of the decision to put him in a place where he would be guarded, if you will, or protected. He knew what was going on and still does. But it just, it's, you don't want to see it happen to somebody that you love, but yet
it does, and
Richie just said, well, how do you take care of, the other side of the question is how they do it 100 years ago. People say, well, how they do it 100 years ago. There was no such thing as Alzheimer's dementia 100 years ago. You didn't live that long.
Right.
So it wasn't a problem. And when you got sick, no matter what, 100 years ago, the family took care of you. Today, not so. You know, you wonder about that. The person that you're with, would that person take care of you if something happened to you, Roberta? Would Tom take care of you? And Richie would take care of you?
Well, that's why I have long-term health care insurance. that kicks in after 1 month.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So, you don't become a burden on your family.
Yeah. Well, but some people may want to.
And it's
take
good
care.
For any age, really. You know,
yeah.
as soon as something happens to you, but then you know, as you get older, it can go for senior living centers or nursing homes eventually.
I know
if you need it.
Wait, I thought you were crazy. You talked me into doing this a number of years ago, and I thought I'm not going to. What am I going to do that for at this age? But yeah, it is something that
all you have to do is have one parent that goes into a nursing home and you see the effects that it has on the entire family and the effects that it has on the financial aspects of the family.
Yep.
And you go, okay, where do I sign up?
And I have a friend who sells memberships, assisted living space for your parents.
Yeah.
I mean, it starts at $10,000 a month.
It's astronomical.
I remember my father, when he had his last stroke and we had to put him into a facility, he was there for 4 months before he died, and it was $22,000 a month to take care of him. And he was
That's cheap.
He was conscious. 22,000.
$22,000.
$22,000 a month.
Yeah.
What he said, he was still conscious enough. He was so angry at me. And that was one of the sad things about his demise. He was so angry at me at the end because I told him that he would not go into a facility. He would stay home. No matter whatever happened to him, he would stay home. Well, Francis, his wife, couldn't take care of him. There were no bathrooms downstairs in the house. So she says, what am I going to do? And she said to me, okay, you're so concerned about it, you take care of him. So I thought about putting him at my house. But one of the problems, even though there's a downstairs bathroom, there would be no place I could put him that wouldn't be in proximity to the radio studio. And because at that point, when he'd lost his ability to basically talk or to communicate, all he did was yell.
Right.
And he would yell so loudly you could hear him in the next county. So I couldn't do it. But, you know, he never understood it. And it was a tough time, but it is tough. You're right about that. You wonder just how far people will go.
It puts such a strain on families.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'd like to let everybody know that Roberta's doing her portion of the show this morning from the Waffle House kitchen in South Florida.
Can you hear all that? Yes. Oh, they're preparing breakfast.
Yeah.
Where are you, by the way? I don't even know where you are.
I'm in Sanibel, Florida. Sanibel Island.
How far are you from where I am in Melbourne? You're on the other side of the other
Right, right, exactly across. Exactly across. If you just go east to west, that's where we are.
Yeah.
So just draw a line.
Yeah. All right.
About 4 hours, 5 hours away.
18 past the hour on Good Day.
Think green. Harrison with you. Why are we recycling bottles instead of refilling them these days? Scientists are now saying that recycling is a fraud and a scam perpetrated by the bottling business on the citizens and cities of America. They point to all sponsors of the recent America Recycles Day. Recycling, they say, is simply the transfer of a manufacturer's responsibility for what they make to the taxpayer. So cities now have to buy fancy trucks to keep garbage separate and pay to pick up people's discarded litter off the street. 63% of recyclables ending up in landfill anyway. So why no more refillable, reusable bottles? Turns out bottling companies invented the notion of recycling so they could roll out billions more plastic bottles of disposable water and sodas. The word recycle is now felt should be replaced with reuse, repair, and refill. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. Dave Davies of the Kinks, world-class guitarist at 15.
Yes, Dave.
The dude aspiring guitar players look up to.
Well, thank you, man. That's totally. Thank you.
Kinks Dave Davies. Today on American Biker Minute.
The Movie Man. 6 second review starts now.
For Star Wars nerds, it'll be lightsaber stiffies. For everyone else, The Force Awakens is still out of this world. I mean,
6 second reviews are brought to you by the flat-out funniest comedy of the holiday season. Tina Fey and Amy Poehler are sisters. Now playing.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. The Kinks Dave Davies. How you doing, man?
How are you, Jeff? I'm fine.
You were experimenting with a sound effect unheard of. Man-made guitar distortion. How you do it?
Cutting the tone of the speaker, slashing, leaving the tone intact. So that's why it came out with that raspy, buzzy noise.
How old were you at the time?
I was 15, grave, 3 years older.
Dave Davies' latest, Ripping Up New York City Live at the Winery. Download the MP3 at Amazon.com. American Biker Minute, your passport to the open road on two wheels.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. It's the old I'm going to count to three parenting technique. So does it work? Your child is misbehaving and you start counting. One, two, three. And by the time you get to three, the child comports himself. But is this the best technique? Here's the developmental science of it. All parenting experts, including a cadre of social psychologists, agree that consistency is key. But why three chances? Does your boss give you three chances to get it done? And really, the like counting to three, it's embarrassing. What's the cheap psychological trick? When you tell your child to do something the first time, follow it with either punishment or praise. The next time you ask, you won't have to count at all. And always follow the correct action with praise. Please check out my new book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MYTV.